One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila and Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, speaker, and psychologist. Every week we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature, how to improve our life. And we're here live at the Miami Book Festival. I can smell the delicious food in the air, the Cuban food, the coffee. People walking around here having a great time, fans. And we have a wonderful guest, right? He's sitting next to me, Andrea Bartz. Andrea is a Brooklyn-based magazine editor, freelance journalist, reporting on travel, psychology, lifestyle health. Her work has appeared in USA Today, Cosmopolitan, Wall Street Journal, Marie Claire, and Men's Health, even Dr. Oz. And she's an expert on the hipster culture. Welcome, Andrea, to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, what is a hipster now? You tell me, is it like a new hippie, or what do you call these folks?
Well, so hipster was sort of a phenomenon that I think peaked around 2009. And it's something I write about in my novel, The Lost Night, which is a thriller that has sort of a mysterious death set in that era. But, you know, I think it grew out of sort of the economic downturn and the recession, that there were a lot of young people and 20-somethings who had sort of been promised, you know, if you go to college and you get a degree, then after that, everything will continue as you expect, and you'll get a job and you'll be able to buy a home. And that didn't happen. I mean, 2008 happened. And so for a lot of people, I think the reaction was to sort of party as the world burned. And it was a sort of, you know, an era of a lot of creativity, and everybody had a blog, and everyone was in a band, and everyone was a photographer, and that was sort of this hipster culture, that moment in time.
Does that sound like you? Were you back in the day in your 20s?
I think you could definitely call me part of that subculture. maybe only the positive aspects of it.
Okay. But you don't call yourself a hipster at the time, or did you?
I mean, one of the things about being a hipster was that you would never call yourself a hipster, because that was sort of like a square thing to do.
But some people would think of you that way. Possibly.
Yes, that's probably true. I would give you that.
So you mentioned anti-consumerism and commercialism was part of that kind of trend. Is this going back to a little bit of the hippie days, you know, the drug, sex, rock and roll kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think there's definitely echoes of countercultures that came before the hipster, such as the hippies. There was the beatniks before that. And I think it was, like in those other sort of flex points in American history, it was this reaction to this world seeming unfair, and sort of the world that we inherited didn't seem right to us.
And so
there was, you know, a group of people who felt counter to that and felt anti-consumerist and anti sort of what they had been told was supposed to be the norm.
Well, so some of the millennials today are a little bit anti-capitalism in some ways. They want to share the wealth, shall we say. What's your view on that? Are you more into that aspect, or do you like money?
I think you certainly can do both. I consider myself progressive. I support a number of, you know, democratic socialists. And I think our generation has seen how unfair the system can be, and how it can really benefit the, you know, top 1% of 1% and not work for so many of us. And so I think out of that sort of angry hipster moment and Occupy Wall Street and watching the bailout of the banks and all that, came this reaction to saying, hey, this isn't fair. The lie that, you know, if you do everything right, you'll just get a 401k and be able to buy a home clearly was not true for us. And so we need to look at how to sort of redistribute wealth and, you know, have a more equitable society where anyone who works hard and is willing to put in the time can succeed and can do well.
So some of the good things you're saying, they're looking for new patterns, they're kind of creative people, the hipsters, shall we say. What would be some negative things? Are they either entitled? I know they rely on technology a lot. There's a trend
that
people don't want to put effort into things. You know, every relationship is a click away. They don't have to work because they can find, you know, some temporary job. Do you think that's an issue? How do you guys deal with that?
I think I'm gonna call you on what you said, that they don't want to work because they can find a temporary job. I think millennials are working like crazy. I'm a freelancer myself, and that means I'm never off. It means I earn every dollar that I make. Yeah, I am. I'm a contractor. I'm a freelancer. And so I don't think there's a distinction between working hard and having a full-time job, because there's just fewer full-time jobs.
How about the relationship issue? You know, they don't invest because they can click away if they don't find the right person.
I definitely think that technology, especially apps, has really changed the scene for dating. And I don't think that that's necessarily like the hipster's fault. I think that's just
so you're a hipster, you're kind of defending them.
You know, a little bit. And you know, you asked what's the negative side, and I would say back in especially 2008, 2009, when this was a huge trend, they were very, very, very negative. And they sort of were defining themselves by hating on things. Like, we hate capitalism.
Anti.
Yes, they were anti-everything. And I would say that's negative. But I think that's shifted, and that people are much more, that generation now is quite earnest and positive and hopeful, and that's what's leading to these, you know, calls for progressive change, calls to save the earth. Like, I think there's a lot of hope and energy and really wanting to make things better that when the movement started perhaps was not the case yet. There was just sort of a sign.
We're
going
to get more into dating and singles, because that's a very interesting aspect as well of the new trends. Now, you do have the book called The Herd, mm-hmm. where you say you're inside an upscale workplace for women in New York City.
Yeah.
So what's going on in the Herd out there?
Sure. So The Herd is going to be my second thriller. It's coming out in March 2020. Yeah. And it is about an exclusive all-female co-working space in New York City that's sort of rocked by the mysterious disappearance of its enigmatic founder, Eleanor. Yes. And it really goes deep for me on themes of commercial feminism, on themes of our sky-high expectations and demands for ambitious women, and sort of the impossible expectations we have for a society where women, you know, a society that sort of keeps women down.
Okay, interesting. So your fictional books have messages to them.
Absolutely, yeah. Messages. As I think all good books do.
Definitely. And also, The Lost Night. Now, here's where you're in your 20s, and you said you're having a great life, you're looking ahead of things, the vastness of things. You miss those times.
I look back on my early 20s with a very nostalgic air. There was something about that moment of being on my own for the first time in a big city and having these really close friends that it felt almost like a second adolescence. It was like everything was new and important and, yes. and beautiful, and there's something beautiful about that. And I do look back and sort of miss all of the fun that we were having in just that period.
Yes.
All that said, like, you couldn't pay me enough to go back to being 23. I'm happier in my 30s secure. And
exactly. Less confusion, less identity.
Exactly. You know, like, I know myself now, and that couldn't pay me enough to go back.
Now, sometimes people in the New York and other places, singles, have a hard time to say meeting the right person.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? I mean, we have all these apps. What do you think is holding people back?
I think actually the apps are part of the reason, as you mentioned before, that it is hard for people to be finding their soulmates. The gamification of dating, I think, really changed things. Once we moved from online dating, you know, OkCupid and Match.com, now we've really moved to app-based dating, where it's like hot or not. You see a photo and you're either yes or no interested.
Yes.
And so it sort of encourages, I think, people to not see the other human as a human.
Exactly.
And it sort of demands immediate satisfaction. So you go on a date, and if you aren't totally smitten with each other after 20 minutes, it's like, well, there's 800 other people in my app waiting, so forget that. And so I think people give each other less of a chance now that we're all sort of addicted to app-based dating. And that's a real pity, and it makes it harder.
I have a book, Love Types, based on Myers-Briggs compatibility. Mm-hmm. So we actually have a dating masquerade party where people wear a mask and then they have their love type written on their shoulder.
Okay.
So it's like a different way to meet people from the inside out.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's what we need, is something to take away that superficial aspect.
Yeah, because in my experience, I mean, I have been on the apps, but the people that I've dated over the last few years that I've really liked, I maybe wasn't initially attracted to. I probably wouldn't have swiped right on them on an app, but then once we actually met and got to know each other, we got along great. And so we're sort of missing that element.
Okay, that could be a new book, Dating App Chance or something.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Where can people hear more about you? And do you have more books or seminars or things?
Yeah, absolutely. So The Lost Night is out now. It's coming out in paperback. That's N-I-G-H-T. And then my second book, The Herd, H-E-R-D. Apparently, I only have homonyms in my titles. The Herd is coming out in March from Ballantine. And people can find out more about me at AndreaBartz.com. That's AndreaBartz.com. And I'm on Instagram and Twitter at AndyBartz, AndiBartz.
You have a lot of great energy, but were you a nerd as a kid, by any chance?
A nerd?
Yes.
100%.
Okay, you were.
Obviously.
Okay. But you seem very sociable. How did you change? Because we have a lot of nerds that listen to us on the show.
Yeah.
Super people.
I think part of what I was saying about moving from your 20s into your 30s, I think you just find your tribe, and I found my, like, awesome, beloved, creative family here in New York, and then you realize people are happiest when you're just embracing your nerddom and letting your freak flag fly.
So Reggie, who's my nerd producer, right? See what you just said?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure, Andrew. We'll have you on again sometime. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on. So, Love University students, if you have any questions, you can email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com, 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @LoveUPodcast. Until next time, Love University students, put away your notepads, your books, your iPads. And this is Dr. Alex Avila.